Welcome back. We are WNST and Baltimore Positive, and today we are down at Fadley's in the Lexington Market, and I tell you what, we got Damie here. It's too early for crab cakes, but the mayor is here. Good morning, Mr. Mayor. I used to call you Jack, now I call you Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor.
Don Moeller is here, of course, of Baltimore Positive, and Don, you know, we waited a little while to talk to the mayor here, and we appreciate you making some time for us this morning as well. Some good cheer and some crab cakes.
No problem.
Well, Mr. Mayor, thanks for being here. Let's just jump right in. I appreciate you making time in your schedule. You've been mayor now for about 81 days. What's the experience been like? I mean, you've been in government a long time, but now you're in the big chair. What's it been like to be mayor for a couple months now?
Well, you know, it hasn't been easy. You know, I got hit with the spyware. There was a water main break at the Pimlico a couple of days before the Preakness, and there was a explosion underground in Mount Vernon, and the list goes on and on and on. But I've been, you know, trying to steady the ship to make sure that we keep the city functioning. You know that the spyware caused our email system and our financial system to collapse, and we're working on that. And we have some workarounds for just about everything. And we're 95 to 97% up on our emails now. And we're trying to scrub everything to get the rest of our system up. So it's been a very difficult 81 days, to be honest with you. And as you know, I made crime and grime a centerpiece of my administration. centerpiece of my administration because it go hand in hand. And I've asked the commissioner to come up with his crime fighting plan. He already have his command staff in place. And I don't want to rush him on his crime plan because I want one that's going to be in line with the consent decree, because we have to follow the consent decree as it's written. But we also must make sure that our officers understand clearly what those parameters are, and that should not prevent them from doing their jobs as police officers, but they have to make sure that they are doing it correct way, so that when we arrest people for violent crime, when we arrest them for drug distribution, that we have the right report, so that we can't plea bargain down for the charges that you're charged with. And I think that's the way we will be able to stop the violent crime in the city of Baltimore. Good report writing, making sure that we're being honest about the arrests that we're making, because, you know, some of the citizens in Baltimore said that there are still some corrupt police officers on the force, and Commissioner Harrison and his command staff are weeding out those officers. As we catch them, they're being suspended and they're being charged. No one is above the law, even me as mayor. No one is above the law. And we've asked our police commissioner to make sure that our officers adhere to the law and operate under those premises. Crime in Baltimore is totally unacceptable to me. And I made a statement yesterday that you just can't point your finger at the elected leadership in the police department. We have to be holistic about this. The community. The community actually know who's doing most of the shootings and killings in the neighborhoods, and this stop snitching mentality have to stop. I mean, if we're to recapture our communities and our neighborhoods where our young people can run and play freely like I did when I was growing up, and not being worried about being shot or killed on the streets of Baltimore. I mean, one time women and children were off limits. They're shooting women in the head and shooting children. You know, I mean, this type of recklessness with crime in Baltimore has to stop.
I think, Mr. Mayor, I think, and I know you're preaching to the choir, and I see Nestor nodding over there. I think one of the things that people have noticed, and my guess is it's in your DNA, is that you're not afraid to speak out and express outrage at things that shouldn't be. In other words, you just talked about a theme that we've talked about quite a bit, that anybody should be able to walk to the corner and get a snowball and not be worried about getting
Jack,
shot.
Jack, I live at the Inner Harbor. That's my neighborhood. So I walk through there. My wife heard a gunshot the other night. First time she sat up and said, I heard a gunshot. I've lived downtown 16 years, so the first gunshot. And sure enough, it was. And I said, I didn't hear it. She heard it. We went out. And it is unacceptable. It's absolutely unacceptable.
It's totally unacceptable. If you can imagine, I hear them all the time.
Right.
Sure.
So I'm right in the middle of it, you know. Preston and Biddle. Hoffman and Biddle. Iger and Caroline. Iger and Eaton Street, right around the corner from me, you know. So I hear these things. And our seniors are afraid to come out to go shopping. Our churches are suffering now because people do not want to come to church unless they're driving. And the ones who live in the areas that want to walk to church are afraid.
That's interesting. So you're seeing it affect church attendance.
It's affecting everything. Yeah.
We certainly believe, and I know Nestor wants to do a segment later, the whole impact of sports in the city. And
yeah, sports is secondary for me. That's why we're here, you know, literally.
As well as part of that. But I want to go back because you certainly did make news this week when you talked about, folks, you've got to help us. You know who are committing these crimes. I think people applaud that. And then at the same...
Not everybody.
Not everybody applauds it. And here's my question. I want to hear who you think doesn't applaud it. But my question connected to that is, are people... If they're afraid to come forward, I know we all know about the stop snitching culture that you referenced. If I'm afraid that my family is going to be harmed if I come forward to help you solve that crime, how do we work through that issue?
Well, I'll say it this way. No one should be afraid to come forward and worry about retaliation. People need to understand that in order to heal our community. That's why I ask police officers to get out of the cars and engage the community. If the police is talking to everybody in the community and we build that trust, then no one know who said what. The stop citizen mentality has made us the deadliest city in America. Are we happy with that? I know I'm not. So we're trying to develop some type of funding that we can relocate those folk who feel that their family would be threatened. But I look at it this way. There's a large extended family, okay? So are they going to target and kill every member of my family? You know, I mean, we're working hard to try to work with our federal and state officials to come up with some money that we can relocate people who feel that they'll be, you know, retaliated against. But I don't buy that.
Well, we'll talk a little bit, because I think it's all connected to this community empowerment that I hear you referencing here. Talk a little bit about programs like Safe Streets and what role a program like that plays in the whole big picture of reducing crime.
Well, Safe Streets, is another tool in the toolbox where, you know, these ex-offenders go out and talk to the folk who are actually committing the crimes. And if you look at the Safe Street numbers, they are down in the number of violence. They're able to speak the language and talk to these folk and get them to settle their disputes other than gun violence. And it's working. We expanded it to, I think, 10 now, 10 Safe Streets. And we're going to try to do even more. We're opening up the rec centers on Saturdays, and I've instructed the director of Recs and Parks to make sure we have those programs in the rec centers that the young people want to see so that they will come in there. And then I charge our schools. Our schools should be having more assemblies to sit down with young people and let them have an open discussion about what it is that's bothering them. And then we need to have those wraparound services to help them. If it's mental health, we need to do that. If the parents are on drugs, we need to try to address that. It's a holistic approach that we have to use in order to heal that family, to stop the cycle of violence in the city of Baltimore. We're asking parole and probation to step up, start bringing these guys in, to start talking with them, to find out exactly what's going on. Have you gotten your job yet? If you are still on substance abuse, how we can get you in programs and those kind of things. The whole system, in my opinion, is broken. The judicial system is broken. The political system is broken, and we need to sit back and fix this whole system. When people feel that they are not a part of the American dream, and they feel that their neighborhoods have been neglected, this is the result. It's not an excuse, but this is the result. That's why I'm working real hard with BDC, our housing department, our planning department, to get resources in these neighborhoods that haven't seen any type of improvement in over two or three decades. So we're aggressively looking at pushing developers into those areas to try to have a rebirth in those areas, and we're doing that. In certain parts of West Baltimore. Baker's Row, where it was a lot of vacants there, is a whole up and down Pennsylvania Avenue on the side streets. New homes being built every day. And it's not just there. It's all over the city where we're trying to revitalize these communities. We have Operation Core. That's in partnership with the state government and the city government through our housing departments to tear down houses that cannot be rehabbed. Now, I'm not for knocking down every house, because I believe that we can rehab some of those houses and make them available to low-income families. But the system is broken.
Well, how do you, listening to you talk, and again, I'm watching Nestor, and he's like, wow, this is the job of the mayor. And one of the things, Nestor, you say over and over is, what's on the mayor's plate? And we're getting, I'm getting a picture, Mr. Mayor, of this whiteboard with all of these items. And I think what folks are interested
in... how much different your jobs would be in you running the county and you running the city on a day-to-day basis, where your mind is and where your time is and where the problems are. Same problems to some degree, but bigger and different, right?
Scope and scale, I would say. Yeah, scope and scale.
Yes. Yeah,
but the same job?
The same job.
Same job, different scope, different scale. And the mayor said it, if you're in a suburban district, you know, if a county like Baltimore County has a year where it has 35 homicides.
And they upset about that.
Oh, my gosh, you're throwing your hands in the air. You're going, we had 35 homicides. You know, we're supposed to have we're not supposed to have any, but if we have 20s, maybe, but 35. The mayor's trying to bring down a murder rate of 300. He's trying to get kids to work. He's trying to redevelop houses. The question that Nestor raises all the time, Mr. Mayor, is how do you prioritize? I mean, you're the leader now. You're in that big seat. How do you keep track of what's going on?
Well, you know, I have department heads who report back to me.
How many departments are there in the city?
We have 13, about 30.
Okay.
And then we have quasi-city agencies like BDC, mm-hmm. Visit Baltimore, and those kind of agencies. And they all, we meet, we have a weekly meeting. Matter of fact, I have a meeting today with all my chairs of various agencies within the city to talk about how we are all working together to address these systemic issues that have been facing the city for a long time. People say, well, he'd been in government long ago, and he haven't done nothing. All they have to do is go back and look at some of the bills that I've put in, where I've worked to get more jobs. I fought to keep more rec centers open, keeping the pools open, more job opportunities. I put in a bill that says any contracts over 500, over 5,000, or any development in the city over $5 million have to have 51% Baltimore City hires for new employees.
That's been a passion of yours for a long
Absolutely.
Time, correct?
And
city
working.
Employees to live in the city.
And it's working, you know. And the thing is, I don't have all the answers, and I wouldn't sit here and say I do. But I rely on other people to come up with some creative ideas that I can look at and say, oh, maybe that's a good one, you know, and move from there. Any mayor that sit down and say that they have all of the ideas, they can fix everything, I like to see them do it. Because when I first got on the council, I said, every vacant house, I'm going to do something about it. We ain't going to have vacant houses sitting around. I had a rude awakening. Some of those houses are in probate, whether it's federal or state. Some of them are owned by seniors. They might look vacant, but seniors are living in these homes. They just don't have the resources to fix them up. That's why I have worked very hard with the LIGHT program, in the city of Baltimore in the housing department, where they go and help the seniors to do certain rehabs in their homes, new roofs if they need that, furnaces and hot water heaters and those kind of things. But the money is running out, because one time we had a lot of money from the federal government that was rolling in to help these kind of programs, and some of these programs have been cut. But we're piecing together different budgets to try to make sure that we keep these things in place. But our problems are a regional problem.
Well, I was going to ask you, what role, it leads right into my next question, what role should the state be playing in helping Baltimore?
Well, I think the state could help us more with more modern technology for our schools, for our police department, and to make sure that we are able to fix our roads. You know, our highway user funds were cut, and that's why most of our streets are messed up. But I have told transportation, I want you to be proactive. I don't want you to be reactive and wait on 311 calls. Ride through the city and see those potholes and fill them. There are streets that need to be constructed. Let's get those as priorities and get them fixed. People want to see little things happen. Once they see little things happen, they begin to have a lot more faith in government that the bigger things are going to be taken care of. You take care of the little small things first, and then you move towards getting the more important things done.
Well, I heard you speak at an event at the Greater Baltimore Committee shortly after you became mayor, and you said, the term you use is new sheriff in town. And you were talking about code violations.
Absolutely.
And that you were fed up with code violations.
Absolutely.
Talk a little bit about
that. Well, number one, we're going to start asking the citizens to do what they're supposed to do as it relates to the code. They're supposed to clean the front and the back of their properties, right? And that goes for store owners as well. And if they don't start doing that after we do our public service announcement, we're going to start issuing fines. Now, those who will be upset about that are the ones who are probably not doing what they're supposed to do. The people who are actually cleaning up in front of their homes and stuff, they shouldn't have to worry. And then we have to stop this culture of people walking down the street, coming out of the restaurant, throwing their sandwich bag on the ground, leaving their soft drink containers on the sidewalk, and the trash can could be right there. You know, we have to change that mentality of people who continually to trash our city. The thing is, our young people mimic what the older people do. If they see trash being thrown on the ground, they think it's okay to do that. But guess what? It affects us going into the bay. That's why we have the bay restoration fee, because we have polluted the bay. Okay? So what I want to do is tackle the crime and the grime in the city of Baltimore and start a campaign of cleaning up this city. Because other people, when they ride through, if they see that you got trash, they're going to throw this stuff out the window. I'll give you a perfect example. I was on my way to an event, a stop violence event. I was riding up the Viaduct, and traffic was stopped. I seen this young man open his door and throw out two cups. The light changed, and I told the driver, turn around, we're going to get him. And we went and got him.
Now that's a little do it now.
We followed him about a block and a half, and the officer got out and told the guy, he said, after he stopped him, because he wouldn't stop at first until he put the light on him, and he pulled over, and he said, the mayor caught you littering the streets. Now, you got two options. You're going to take a citation, or you're going to go back and pick it up. The mayor wants you to go back and pick it up. The guy raised his hand like it was a trophy that mayor caught him.
The mayor caught him.
So he rides and parks his car and goes, walk up the Viaduct. And the the officer said, sir, get back in your car. We're going to escort you up there. And we escorted him up there, and he picked it up, put it back in his car, and did this and drove off.
He told a few friends about that?
I think he told a few friends. Hey, the mayor caught me, man, and made me go back and pick it up. And that's what I want the citizens to understand.
Wow.
Stop trashing your city. Because if
it's
you trash
city.
It,
it's
yeah,
our city.
Yeah, everybody else going to do it if they think you are doing it. So that's why people come and illegally dump in our city, you know, because they know that the community is not going to say anything. They'll watch you dump, then they'll call and report. But did you get a tag number? No, I didn't get a tag number.
Mayor Jack Young joining us from Fadley's in Lexington Market. We get back to Fadley's on the 2nd of July. We're going to be joined by Matt Gallagher, longtime staffer for Martin O'Malley, as well as Ron Shapiro. We are doing two podcasts for Baltimore Positive on July the 2nd. It's a special Tuesday morning edition. If you'd like to join us down at Lexington Market, or just enjoy us out on the app at Baltimore Positive, and of course, in the buyatoyota.com audio vault 24 hours a day from anywhere in the world. Baltimore Positive, also sponsored by our friends at State Fair in Catonsville. We will be back in Catonsville at Jennings Cafe just up the street next week on Thursday on the 27th with Nancy Grasmick talking education at the end of school, at the beginning of the holiday season, and of course before the 4th of July parade in Catonsville. It's going to be unbelievable. Hope to see you over at Jennings. That'll be at 11 a.m. with Nancy Grasmick on the 27th, and of course we'll be at Jennings and State Fair and everywhere in Catonsville on the 4th of July, along with, and I call him Don, but most of you call him the county executive. We'll have Don Moeller with us. We have some beautiful Baltimore Positive stuff coming up, as well as everything else we're doing around here at WNST.net. So many sponsors to tell you about. New sponsors, old sponsors, great friends, people coming back for our incredible July Hall of Fame month. It is our 21st anniversary. On August the 3rd, we'll be able to drink together. It's unbelievable. The Budweiser Sports Forum, Bumpers coming back to life, comedy with Mike Messina, Ed Reed going into the Hall of Fame. Those guys, we're feeding them, talking to all sorts of Hall of Famers, reliving the glorious history of Baltimore sports and Hall of Fames, as well as the Hall of Famers we've had on the air. I've unearthed all sorts of old, never-before-heard interviews with John Ogden, Ray Lewis, Earl Weaver, Brooks Robinson, Mike Messina, stuff that has never aired, and if you've listened to my program over 28 years, it's all in there. So I hope everybody enjoys it. I just want to go through all of our sponsors. Full circle. Tyron Auto, up in Harford County. Dave's been doing it for years, doing the nasty van back in the day. Hey, man, it's going to get hot out. If your AC's a mess, go see Dave. You need an oil change for $19.95, go see Dave. It's Full Circle Tyron Auto, 410-676-CARS. We're going to have them on the program as well, and you can like them out on Facebook. Full Circle Tyron Auto. Johnny D's back with us. Everything there's homemade. You know that. That's the way Johnny does it over there. They've been doing it since 1954 at the Hideaway. Real turkey, none of that press nonsense. I mean, they do it just the way you do it on Thanksgiving Day, except they do it every day. It's Johnny D's on a Muskie and JohnnyD'sLounge.com. Stop by. They also have the catering hall there for any occasion. Adams Extreme Motorsports back with us as well. We'll be doing some shows up in Aberdeen this year. Follow them at Adams Jeep on Twitter. You've heard about the lift kits and tricking your Jeep out and making it awesome. If you have a Jeep, you know about Adams Jeep, but they're the best at what they do. Roost Chris, my wife and I have been dining down at Pier 5. We're going to get out to Pikesville sometimes, too. You know, I get out to the Northwest Suburbs so much during Raven season. You know, I hang downtown in the summer. I love downtown. I'm a Baltimore Positive guy. You know that. Bruce Crispin downtown for 30 years now. Steve DeCastro here in Baltimore doing the right thing by all sorts of leukemia and lymphoma patients. Throwing parties, big and small, and grilling those sizzling steaks. Better than they've ever been, quite frankly. If you've never had a sizzling steak at Bruce Chris, now is the time to do that because they got beautiful happy hour. They have the burger night there. We tell you all about that stuff. And book your private event in beautiful downtown Baltimore at Pier 5 and Roost Chris. Follow them at Roost Chris. I go through all of our sponsors. I can tell you about Curio and Hammer and Nails, where I get my hair done. I had breakfast over at Patrick's in Essex. The Model Lyric welcoming Diana Ross later on this month. My wife said, we're going. I'm like, we're going. June 30th, we're going to be celebrating to honor Arthur and Patricia Model at the Model Lyric. Looking forward to that. And I'm waiting for Court to get my Sporticulture lava lamp in the studio. So I am looking forward to that as well. So Court, please send the lava lamp bulb. It's not, you know, as long as I have it by like August when Ed Reed goes in, I'm good. July is going to be something around here, folks. I'm just letting you know. Stick around. Tune in. July is going to rock. We have part two with Mayor Jack Young, Don Moeller, Lexington Market at Fadley's. It was an unbelievable conversation. We still have a half an hour left with the mayor. Stay with us. You're listening to WNST Towson Baltimore and WNST.net, and we never stop talking Baltimore sports and Baltimore Positive.